Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Mukbil Yabaro in Studio 22 with Mike Hovey and Kali Abdu. And we are here because the sun is setting on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'll swing it around to the guys in a little bit, and we will discuss some of the fine memories that we had of Sonny in our time here with him at VOA. But before that, let's get into an excerpt from one of Sonny's farewell segments where he spoke to Barry Mon, former VOA English to Africa chief, and Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa. I'm delighted to welcome two special guests, Heather Maxwell, the host of the VOA's Music Time in Africa show, and Barry Mon, the former chief of the VOA's English to Africa service, former VOA sportscaster, retired but not tired, sports emperor, Heather.
Hey, Sonny.
Hey, Heather. Heather, we got to go with age before beauty. Good day, Barry. Good day, Barry.
Hey, I resemble that remark here in the North Georgia mountains. Hey, what's this terrible rumor I'm hearing about you giving it up? That can't be.
Barry, you got to give it up while you still got life in your legs. Like any good fighter, Barry, you betcha I'm retiring on top. Barry, we got a lovely lady here in Studio 22, Heather Maxwell. Barry, in recent days, people like Heather and colleagues have asked me, Sonny, what are you going to do in retirement? Well, I'll tell you, Barry, what I'm going to do. I'm going to see a lot more music shows, a lot more concerts. I was in Falls Church, Virginia over the weekend, and I checked out Heather's new band, The Night Players.
That's right.
Tell us about it, Heather.
Well, that was fantastic seeing you in the audience. It was awesome. We were in a brewery of all places. But my Night Players band, we do a lot of American classics, Linda Ronstadt, Lady Gaga. Oh, I don't know. There's just so many.
I bet you even did a few that Barry likes.
Probably. Barry, what kind of music do you like, Barry?
Yeah, you know, I go back to the doo-wop era of
the
50s.
Okay. I understand now, Sonny, why you said age before beauty.
Well,
hey,
Barry.
Heather, the rumor's going around that Sonny tried to get up and do a duet on stage with you. Is that correct?
No.
That was Sonny in his true element, where he really enjoys himself on the mic. Now onto a sport that he loved covering, football. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts, firstly, on the international friendlies that have been happening? And then we can talk Euros, Mike.
Oh, yeah. There was a couple of international friendlies that stood out to me this weekend. But I'm going to jump straight into it. Belgium, England. That for me was a standout international friendly. It was exciting to see. Of course, I'm going to point out, you know me, I'm going to talk about Kobe Mainoo any day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
Got his debut recently, and already he's looking like he's ready to take on the first starting 11 for England. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the squad for the Euros, man. He's looking amazing, man. He's looking beautiful.
Kali, what are your thoughts on Kobe Mainoo?
Yeah, he's a revelation, you know. United have got another one. I just hope that they don't ruin another really bright talent. You know, McTominay was the one. You remember when Mourinho left.
He still is.
That's not what
put
I hear.
Put some respect on Scotty's name, man.
That's not what I hear.
I hear he's doing all right, but not to his potential.
McTominay?
McTominay, absolutely. You see pockets, though, right? You see pockets of greatness where he comes out and he's still really able to do what he does, but Like you said, he's not, I think, the trajectory that many of us had expected him to take, unfortunately, hasn't really panned out.
I think the problem is the managerial switches. You bring a different manager who doesn't see it the way Mourinho saw it, then he's put, you know, sent to the back. And then another one comes that sees potential, you know, just that back and forth like that. No consistency there.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on this England national team, though, right? We've seen Coach Southgate for a really long time not be able to get the most out of some of these players? That if you just look at the roster, star-studied, what seems to be the problem with this squad? If you look at even that game, right, it's 2-2 against Belgium, right? Ivan Toney gets a PK, and Bellingham has to save them.
It's the coach, man.
Listen,
I keep saying
what is it about him, though?
I'll put it to you this way.
Yeah.
Roberto Martinez, who is the coach of Belgium, has not lost a game. They've been killing everything inside.
Belgium's 12-12.
I bet you if Martinez was in England, they'd do better.
I could see that. But also, to be honest, though, to be fair, Belgium hasn't also performed accordingly as well. You look at that team just from their name perspectives alone.
I'm sorry. I was talking about Portugal.
Portugal.
He's really doing insanely well with Portugal.
With the team that he has.
So, I'm just imagining that, you know, if you have a squad like Southgate has with England.
It's inexcusable.
On. Yeah.
I'm going to push back on that, Jimmy.
Okay.
So here's the thing, right? If we...
Before you push back, is that because there's been links to potential Southgate coming to United?
That's why. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm saying up.
I'm going to use the benchmark being the previous World Cup that England played in, right?
Okay.
And they went all basically toe-to-toe with France.
Okay.
I think England has the potential. At times, the challenge that you have is, A, who you encounter. Because England, that squad could have taken it all the way and won the World Cup if it wasn't for that France pillar. And, of course, Argentina was also on top. It's like the World Cup, the stars were written in it for Messi to win. But England was looking really good.
Okay.
Even as they play the international friendlies, I watched a couple of them. They're looking really good. Now, Gareth Southgate has a challenge, of course. If we look at the past two games that they just played, using Belgium as an example, he had arguably a lot of his stars pull out because of injuries. Right, he didn't have Kyle Walker. He didn't have Bukayo Saka. This is how
Stones as well.
He didn't have John Stones. You see what I'm saying? This is how you have, for example, and it's kind of like a quid pro quo, right? Because this is how a Kobe Mainoo gets his first start. This is how a Kobe, because he wasn't included in the original squad, so it kind of worked out, but it also didn't work out in his favor. The thing that it worked out is he got a chance to try out new strategies to see how it works with different combinations, etc. Without having to use a Bukayo Saka, without having to use a John Stones. Figuring out how to make it work. He didn't have Henderson. This is how Kobe Mainoo came in, right? So in one light, I will say it was unfortunate that he didn't have all his stars. But in the other light, I will say that given all his stars, I'm really curious to see what he's going to do in the Euros. This squad should win the Euros if we're going to look at it and we're going to be very frank about it.
Ooh.
Will they win it? I can't see it. There's just teams that are better organized. Portugal will cook them. You know, there's teams that look very, very, as talented as they are, but they look very sharp. There's something about England that bothers me. You know, Southgate seems to be the type of manager that is a little too conservative sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have, you know, the type of talent he has, sometimes you just got to let them loose, let them ball. But it seems like the tactics, it's a little bit too conservative. And, you know,
but isn't that modern day football? Name one team that still balls out freely like that.
I mean, Portugal.
They're not balling out freely.
They are.
Right?
But look,
Portugal
right
now is maximizing on the fact that they still have Cristiano Ronaldo.
Bafana are balling freely. They did three. What was it? 3-3 with Algeria.
With Algeria.
Yeah. There's teams that are going for goals.
Though. I will say this, though. To me, when I'm looking at this English team, and I think I kind of agree with Kali's sentiment simply because you're right, Mike, in that they should win. With what they have on paper, they should absolutely win. The problem is to have players like that and for you not to give them that little bit of creativity. You have a Jude Bellingham, and when I was watching him play, he's not looking comfortable, man. Like, and to be honest with you, yeah, sure, you can say that he plays with Real, but it's not like the English national team is that much of a drop. Like, you have ballers on that team that will make you feel comfortable to be able to do what you naturally do for your club team. So when I'm seeing him play, a very uncomfortable like position. And if he continues to play Jude the way that he wants to play him, this Euros is going to be the Euros where some of these younger players are going to get they're going to leave a bad taste in the mouth of the fans, because the English fans also are a tough crowd.
Very tough.
If they don't perform
yeah.
because of Southgate's issues, they never will blame the coach. They will blame the players.
Touche. It's very likely. I'm really curious to see how they play at the Euros. I did like the fact that a lot of especially all these international friendlies, a lot of young stars got to ball out. A lot of young stars got their first starts, so it was really interesting to see. As we unpack and talk, delve deeper into the Euros, I'm really excited to see how England looks. They're looking like they would likely emerge out of their group. So as we delve back to that point, I want to really delve deeper and understand more about you know, the Three Lions.
Absolutely. If we're just looking at it group-wise, the group that England is in at the moment is Group C. They're in a group with Slovenia, Denmark, Serbia, and themselves.
They're definitely making it out of that group.
That should not be a problem, right, Kali?
It shouldn't.
Shouldn't be.
Yeah.
All right?
It shouldn't.
Okay, let's look at Group A. All right, Germany, Scotland, Hungary, Switzerland.
I got Germany and Scotland.
Okay. I got Germany and Switzerland.
Swiss? Yeah, I low-key like Swiss, but I could see Scotland making a run as well. Group B. Spain,
group of death.
Spain, Croatia, Italy, Albania.
Tough.
Group of death.
Tough, yeah.
Already? You think so?
I'm putting two. There are two groups there that I'm pointing out as the group of death. That's Group B.
And D.
And Group D. Yeah, easily. Yeah. With this one, I don't even know who would make it out as the top two. I favor Spain being out there among the two, but Croatia and Italy.
To be honest
boy,
with you,
boy.
Can I do a hot take?
Go ahead.
I don't see this as a problematic group for Spain or Croatia. No, Italy has not been the Italy of past. In how long? I have not seen Italy.
They're in a transition phase.
They're in a phase right now where they're trying to figure it out, yeah. And they have not performed well in their last, I don't know how many.
Spalletti, yeah. Though. He's going to figure it out.
I repeat, you guys did not learn anything from AFCON, did you?
Yeah, when they click.
Clearly, you didn't learn anything from AFCON.
Speaking of, Ivory Coast beat Uruguay.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that.
I saw Mali 2-0 against Nigeria as well.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Some
Nigeria B team, though.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. And what? That was Mali A team, though?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I mean.
Yeah, and the next group death, of course, Group D.
Group D, Poland, Netherlands
Austria, France. What you have?
France should come out atop, and it should be Netherlands. But I could see Austria.
And Poland.
Yeah, honestly, to me, that's what I'm saying. Group D looks like more of a group of death because all four of the teams look like they potentially could make it through. Yeah, so like if France catches a 1-2 draw, they could be in trouble. You know, like they have to win like all their games, whereas some of these other groups look a little easier. Group E, Belgium, Slovakia, Romania, and Ukraine.
That's also a tough group.
Belgium atop if they play the way they're supposed to play, but I have similar problems with Belgium and England. Mm-hmm. They almost do the same kind of thing.
Right.
They have star power, but I'm hearing that the Belgian locker room is not really that
tight. And their team is a lot. There's a lot of players that are
big egos. They have big names, so because of that, you have the Lukaku, De Bruyne,
but also kind of. On
the back end as well, yeah.
They're old.
Hazard not playing this year, no?
No.
Yeah, he's out.
He's retired.
Who else do they have on that squad now?
They have a couple players, but they're older. They're in their late 30s now.
I think
Trussard is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Trussard is still a baller. But Trussard and KDB are not very friendly.
Really?
From reports.
Something's weird about KDB's not friendly with so many people like that.
He said I can't be friendly with you if we're, you know, we're ops when we play, you know, at home in a club team.
Come on, man.
You know?
But that's another thing. You know, another thing that I did notice with these international friendlies, right, is how you had a lot of players that just in a space of a week
are going to be playing against each other
as ops. So I don't understand how at an international level you're supposed to be trying out these combinations, but then within a space of a week, and if we're looking at, for example, the EPL where the top three, it's so tight, it's so close.
Right.
I can only imagine. I don't know how I'm supposed to train properly with my op.
Right.
It's difficult. Absolutely. Because I wasn't surprised.
It's a chess game too, right? You know, Trossard and Kevin De Bruyne are both very strategic, smart players. So the problem is, when you're playing with each other and you're training, are you really training? Or are you watching to see where this guy's weaknesses are, thinking about the game coming up when you guys are playing each other?
That's such a great take, because as you guys are talking, I was just thinking about the legendary Lampard and Gerrard midfield that never was successful. Yeah, I wonder if it's because
they were clashing. Premier League
it's rivalry. Just clashing.
Right.
They worked well at international level, but that's when it has to work. So I'm talking like when you have the time. So if it's like a World Cup, then they're gonna click because you have probably a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Before, and you know that during this time, this is we're setting this aside. It's about the badge, right? Yeah. But when it comes to these small international friendlies that are between tournaments, it's really difficult for some of these players because, once again, in a space of a couple of weeks, if you look at, for example, all the teams that are playing for England, a lot of them play for Arsenal and you know, Man City and United and Liverpool. It's really tough.
Yeah.
How do you go from a space of just 2 days ago were teammates, but in 2 days were opposites? Right. And once again, this is a tense race. All it takes is one slip up. Mm-hmm. I wasn't surprised when, for example, Bukayo Saka pulled out, when Kyle Walker pulled out, and they all said they're injured. What I'm looking forward to seeing is who's going to be playing this Sunday.
They're all going to be playing on Sunday.
Once again, they all said they were injured.
Mm-hmm. They got to take a leaf, borrow a leaf from the Spanish players. In the height of the Clásico, Barcelona and Madrid, when Messi was playing at Barcelona with Iniesta and Xavi and all these guys, when they played for Spain, that is Iniesta and Xavi and Ramos, none of that mattered. But PK, all of them came together and they were really strong for Spain.
Right. So I think the difference is, right, those players are playing in a Spanish league, and there's something about the Spaniards that really take their game very, very seriously, right? Mm. And it's not only about the bag, the club badge. For them, the badge of Spain, it supersedes it. Whereas I don't see that for the English players.
You feel that the Spanish badge could be underneath the club badge.
Facts.
Okay.
It's right, yeah, for
Whereas
sure.
That's not the same in England.
In England, absolutely not. In England, to me, it seems like the precedence is club. Club takes it over because unfortunately England has not been able to win much.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
so if there was a winning culture on an international level, then it would be completely different.
I mean, you say less because some Liverpool fans boo the national anthem during some games. So it's
once
club
again,
over country.
Like I said,
for
me, it goes back to what it's going to look like in the Euros because I'm confident that England can put up a good performance. They're definitely probably walking out of that group.
Yeah.
But what it's going to look like moving forward, I'm really looking forward to seeing them take on a France, for example, because they've got the star power to do it.
That'd be
absolutely, man.
Well, so who do you take right now? France, England? I'm taking France.
I'm going with England.
Okay.
Okay, listen, man. Listen.
Southgate's
okay,
definitely
right,
going to United.
Right. 100%, absolutely. Before we get into that, okay, let's swing that back around. But I think before we head over to the EPL action, let's get into this excerpt where Sonny spoke with his longtime contributor and friend Andy Edwards from the VOA London Bureau.
I'm thrilled to welcome as my special guest our longtime athletics reporter, the energetic Andy Edwards, is joining us from the VOA's London Bureau. Andy, sporty greetings, my good friend.
Oh, Sonny, this is a big moment. Sporty greetings to you from London.
Andy, the London Bureau, I know in some way it has some personal meaning to you. Tell our Sunny Side of Sports listeners about that.
Well, it's funny how life can sometimes go in circles. And when I was a boy, and I was born in 1954, so I was about 13, my beloved Uncle Bob, who was chief crime photographer on the Daily Express, one of Britain's big newspapers then, and of course Fleet Street was full of newspapers. Not now. VOA is the only media office bureau on the street. But Uncle Bob sadly died quite young. He was 61, and his memorial service was across the road from our VOA bureau in London here. It was at St. Bride's Church, which is known as the Journalist Church, and quite a few vigils have been held at St. Bride's, for example, for Beirut hostages in the 1980s. And this was, well, March 1968, my Uncle Bob's memorial service. He was a very well-known photographer on Fleet Street. And it was a thrill for me. I had met some of his colleagues earlier when we moved back. I was born in Hong Kong and then lived in Singapore until I was five. We moved back to this country. We lived opposite Bob and Lily, my uncle and aunt. And I'd met some of his colleagues, women as well as men, and they seemed so interesting. I was a little toddler then and just listening to the sound of their voices. But this memorial service and tributes to him, I'm not just saying it because he was my uncle. What impressed me were the journalists, the women and the men. They seemed different, I have to say, to my other relatives. The way they talked, their sort of humor, they were mavericks, dashing, charming, not quite like people I've met before. And what do you know, I'm making, well, what will be one of my last broadcasts on VOA from the office of VOA, and it's opposite St. Bride's Church and almost next door to what was the Daily Express offices.
Andy, you used that word charming. I have to say, I have found our relationship to be charming on a lot of levels. And for our Voice of America listeners who might be wondering, how did sunny and energetic Andy actually meet? Well, we have to go back about 25 years to the 1999 World Athletics Championships held in Seville, Spain. Andy, I want to mention a mutual friend. I haven't seen Dick in a while. Dick Patrick, the former track and field writer for USA Today newspaper, introduced me to Andy. And I will say this, Andy, when Dick mentioned you, he said, "Sonny, I think this guy can get you some really good audio." And, well, Dick, and Dick was spot on.
And I've said to you before, Sonny, when a few years ago you mentioned that, and I, of course, I didn't know. Yes, Dick Patrick, I've also sadly lost touch with Dick. USA Today ended his role a few years back after a distinguished career as athletics track and field correspondent. I didn't know that catchphrase, "a guy who can get you good audio." And I said to you, Sonny, I thought, well, whenever I depart this life, I wouldn't mind that on my tombstone if I lived up to that motto, "a guy who could get good audio."
I think you have gotten not just good audio, Andy, you have gotten us exceptional audio.
Absolutely. Come on, man. When you hear Sonny and Andy chit-chatting and going back and forth, that's what it's all about. You know, that's the type of banter we have created right here.
The vibes.
You know, so a little off-air, we were just chatting about the English national team and what they're potentially going to be able to do. So let's quickly touch on it, Mike. Mm-hmm. You think a player like James, you said Kobe Mainoo over Madison
right now,
in form right now?
Right now, yes. Probably. I am putting Kobe Mainoo as a starting player over Madison.
Over Madison?
Yes.
But first of all, is Mainoo an attacking midfielder or
he's
a
playing
defensive?
He's playing as a central midfielder.
So is the problem with Southgate is combinations.
And he's box to box.
Yeah, football is about football is about combinations.
Uh-huh.
And if he's set the team up to be solid, that's part of the problem. He's worrying more about don't lose as opposed to go out
against
and win.
Belgium, right. Against Belgium, he played two box-to-box midfielders.
That's
right.
I see that.
Jude Bellingham, he had Kobe Mainoo,
right.
And he had Declan Rice.
Right.
I don't see anything going wrong with that.
No. Well, that's a problem. I'll tell you why. Because Jude really is more of that attacking flow, right? You want Jude to push up more so,
uh-huh.
Right? You want Declan Rice to play
back.
To stay back.
And then you need somebody who's a baller
in the middle.
Take the ball and find Jude and combine.
And you think Mainoo can't move the ball like that?
He can, but it's
not on that level.
Madison?
Not on that level.
Come on, bro.
No,
you see Madison
is a baller. You see what Madison's doing this year, bro?
I've seen Mainoo move the ball once, and I'm happy. I'm seeing Madison
just
they
finds
can't
players.
Play without.
Yeah.
They can't play. Can Mainoo play without Mainoo? Absolutely.
Yes.
Can Spurs play without Madison?
No.
You've seen it every time they play without him, they lose.
So here's the thing. Kobe Mainoo right now
has more upside than Madison.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
Yes.
No,
he
no,
will
no.
learn what Madison knows.
And then
he'll pass him.
Yes, and he'll surpass him.
Yes.
But not right now.
Right
today,
now, if we look, you asked me about United.
Yes.
Kobe Mainoo right now has to be in the starting 11. You are easily starting Casemiro and Kobe Mainoo with Bruno Fernandes.
I'm not saying what we're asking is can United, it's not, they're not going to be great, but can United deal and play without Mainoo?
You don't have a United beating Arsenal or a Liverpool or without right now without Kobe Mainoo. You don't have that. Okay. Look at every big game we have played. Every big game. Look at Liverpool.
Okay.
Kobe Mainoo was the essential player. What are you guys talking about?
Okay. All right. Listen. All right. Listen. We can go on for hours. Let's swing it since we're talking about EPL. Let's talk Arsenal Man City.
Okay.
It's because United is not in the race, right? So let's talk Arsenal City. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on potential? Obviously, going to Etihad is very difficult for anybody. Big game. What does Arsenal have to do in order to come away with some points in this game?
Arsenal's done it before. They need to do it again. It's going to be tough, merely because Man City's shown that, yo, when it's time to turn on, what Man City usually does is, I'll compare it to an Ethiopian marathon runner, right?
Yeah.
They start off easy, taking their time. They're probably in like third, fourth place. Mm-hmm. But that last lap, my boy, you know they're coming in full pace, ready to go. That's what Man City is, right? And Man City has the depth. Now, the good thing is Arsenal this year, they're looking amazing. You have all your players back. I'm curious to see if Bukayo Saka plays.
Mm-hmm.
If Bukayo Saka does not play, I put a question mark on that victory too.
Mm-hmm.
But if he does play, you have all your players back. It's going to be a true, let's see who goes toe-to-toe. I think Arsenal are capable of going toe-to-toe with Man City. But it, once again, comes down to the personnel.
Carly.
Yeah, no, he's right. I think that they can do it. The only fear for me is that they give Man City too much respect.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, at Etihad, that's how everyone has to play. Mm-hmm. They get overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
and then Man City start picking up momentum, and then the game is gone from you.
Mm-hmm.
If they can focus on not losing, and just pick their moments and be very disciplined and not make any mistakes, at least they could get a draw in the game, and that's what they need right now. It's just, no matter what, at least get a draw.
Question, what are your thoughts on Pep and Arteta and potentially the managers trying to outdo each other from a strategic standpoint? Could that be a hindrance for either team?
Yeah.
I think as we go into this game, Arteta for a moment has to forget that Pep was his mentor. I think every single time Arsenal has played Man City, walked in with that confidence, and Pep, you can tell. Once again, that's not to take away from what Pep has accomplished, but when it comes to Arsenal, Arsenal's looking really good, but I think Pep also has that idea of, you're my little boy, you're my youngin', right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always been that. For this game, Arsenal for a moment, A, needs to forget about the gratitude and the importance of this game, because once again, they must win. If you do win, it's easy to say that the EPL is yours. However, the magnitude of this game, whoever wins in this game is taking EPL. Mm. We can easily say that.
Yeah, man. What's Liverpool's pathway?
If a draw happens,
their positioning is a lot better though, right?
But Liverpool still has to beat United.
Liverpool has to beat Brighton right now.
Liverpool still has to play Tottenham too. Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Liverpool has a lot of big games that they still have to play. If whoever wins between Arsenal and City has an easier pathway to EPL, hence why I said it's easy to say whoever wins in this game on Sunday easily has the EPL in their hands.
I think it's still too early to call.
Yeah, I still say this though. The Chelsea game has been postponed. Chelsea are spoilers for Arsenal as well. United are spoilers as well. Tottenham want to be spoilers, but they're never spoilers. But but you know, we could go on forever, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for being on a segment with me. You guys are both more than welcome to join me on the final episode of the Sunny Side of Sports tomorrow as we let the sun set on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Mukbil Yabro, joined by Mike Hove and Kali Abdu. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.